The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And it's a Monday. It's a Monday of the 24th of November, 2025. We have around 6 days before we go to December, and that will call it a year. We are greeting you wherever you are finding yourself. We are greeting you wherever you are finding yourself. And, you know, a lot of people are busy wrapping up the year. Some are busy to travel. Some are busy to go and meet their family members, their loved ones. And it's always very important to make sure that your plan should not only end in the 30th of December. You must also plan when you are coming back, because January is there. It's waiting for everybody. Make sure that your plan should be long-term, and also for you to be able to navigate through and understand that the economy is not on the good side. The economy is not on the good side. You must be make sure that, especially this time of the end of the year, do not spend to impress. Be very calculative, and also spend on what is important. You don't need to negotiate between having a good drink and also buying uniform for your kids. Those are the things that you need to prioritize. And let us also invest in things that are long-term. If you invest in your education, that is long-term. If you invest in self-education, that is long-term. But if you invest in self temporary entertainment, that will not work out. So that's why it's always very important to make sure that how should I navigate through this month? What do I need to do? How should I work with either is my money, my resources, and all those things? But yeah, like we're always doing, this is Early Morning Scoop. We look at global affairs, continental affairs, and most importantly, we look at the conversation for the day to say, in terms of the conversation for today, what do we have on the table? And most importantly, we also look at what is the conversation that we are having impacting the life of an ordinary person. Because at the end of the day, we can discuss things from a strategic point of view, from global perspective, from global leaders' pronunciation. But at the end of the day, the situation must be able to benefit, or must be able to impact positively an ordinary person who is on the ground. And also, how do you simplify critical issues from a global perspective to an ordinary person? Yeah, before we dive into what we have today, it's always very important to understand that the Village newspaper, it's out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and make sure that you get time and opportunity to read and expand your view, expand your thinking. You need also to expand also your research capacity, and be able also to be a contributor to the national development. Because looking at all the conversation, we can agree and disagree with one another, but where we are meeting is the fact that we all need an understandable life. We all need to send our kids to better school. We all need quality policies. We all need, opportunities. And we also need protection, either is from terrorism, protection from diseases. And we need long-term sustainable development. We can disagree and agree on issues of ideological position, but the fact remains that we are all in the same goal to say, this is what we need. Looking at G20, which recently completed, and that will be the conversation for today, it's quite important to look at what other news which are coming through, especially from Africa, because our conversation for today, it's a global conversation on its own. Although it looks continental, it's a global conversation on its own. But let us look at other parts of Africa to see what is happening around, what is happening around, especially in Africa. And there's an ongoing concern, especially from the African Union, apart from concerning of debt servicing among African countries. One of the things which is happening, especially in Nigeria, and is very scary, is continuation of abduction of school children, either is male or female, by militia. And the numbers are increasing, and schools, forced to close down, especially in Niger State, in Nigeria. It was stated that number of children abducted in school attack raised to 300. That is the situation in Nigeria, one of the most, populated countries in Africa. And it's also a country of many natural resources, such as oil. It's a country of the richest men in Africa, too. That is Aliko Dangote. But in terms of security, seems like the situation in Nigeria needs critical attention, especially looking at that perspective. So it is stated that the total of 303 school children and 12 teachers were abducted by gunmen during an attack on St. Mary School, that is Catholic institution in the north central Nigeria, in Niger State. And there's an ongoing concern to say the hunt now include also local trekkers, and is one of the most scary situation, especially in the weekend, to say that side of Nigeria abduction. And the other time the military general of Nigeria stated that it's going to be a 24-hour search. It's going to be a 24-hour search, especially when it's coming to the tari, which is continued increasing. And to say abducting school children, what is the aim? What is the aim? And also, who is behind these attacks? Because not everything is confirmed to be Boko Haram, but it seems like there is militia. And how do you protect those who need protection, especially children, and also those who cannot defend themselves? And it's also very important to look at this news, and also to say, when it comes to issues of Africa and security, what is the progress? What is the progress in terms of Africa and security? How is our security system? And what is the threat? What is the main threat to a security system? Because the other time also, especially last week, when you're updating on this news, is to say, this militia, they engage, not to say militarily, but they exchange fire with police. And before they escape, especially the side of Nigeria, and it's quite scary news and very disturbing to say, what is the motive? How should cooperation will be, how are the security, either security agency is policing in Africa, working together to make sure that when it's coming to terror, when it's coming to, fighting of either is internal conflict or religious motivated, abduction, how should it be dealt with? However, let us look at this news. Let us look at this news and see to say what will happen. And this going to be like Chimboko girls that were abducted in 2014-2015 there by Boko Haram, or what is really happening. But let us look at this news and move forward. And also ask yourself to say, how come a lot of people, they just disappeared like that? They just got abducted like that. And it's very difficult to get them back. There's the largest population in Africa. And the expectation is to see, when you have the largest population, you also have a strong human capital that also you can also leverage on talent too, to say, when you have numbers, in most cases, either in terms of the economy, in terms of security, at least you can leverage on that technology, talent, and also maybe to use technology to assist in keeping your peace. But it seems like that side of Nigeria, things are yet to come out. But let us look at this news and move forward.
A total of 303 school children and 12 teachers were abducted by gunmen during Friday's attack on a Catholic school in Nigeria's Niger state. The Christian Association of Nigeria on Saturday updated an earlier tally of 215 children after a verification exercise and a final census were carried out. The spokesperson of the association's Niger state chapter said 88 other students were captured after they tried to escape during the attack. This school kidnapping happened just 4 days after armed men seized 25 schoolchildren in similar circumstances in neighboring Kebbi State. No group has yet claimed responsibility for the abductions. Authorities said tactical squads have been deployed alongside local hunters to rescue the children.
Yeah, a tactical squad has been deployed to rescue children. And to what extent, and we are still waiting for the development to see how is, you know, security going to be, you know, maintained, especially that side of Nigeria. And also, how should you protect schools? Because dealing with militia is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. And also, maybe the question that one would want to ask is to say, in terms of governance and the politics of the continent, why are we still focused on fighting each other? Why are we still focused on fighting each other while other continents are developing? What technology have we dealt, or have we came up with to fight terrorism, especially? What investment did country put in peace and security? How is the cooperation between African countries to make sure that when it's coming to peace, when it's coming to security, when it's coming to fighting of terrorism, they are working together? Because the fight is still big, especially from African point of view, to say there is a lot of things. And imagine yourself a leader in West Africa, for example. There's a lot of things that you need to work on. Not only in West Africa, everywhere. Here you are fighting poverty. Here you are fighting a gunman. Here you are fighting inequality. Here you are fighting debts, servicing. And also to see who is behind this, all these things. Because my question has always been to say, yes, research saw that there are some companies in Africa where they manufacture guns, but the majority of these equipment used in either in war, they are not made in Africa. And it's business somewhere. Look at M23. The bulletproofs that M23s are wearing are not your ordinary. They are more than James Bond's bulletproof. They have technical know-how. And they force a government that even did not want to negotiate with them to come on the table to say, this is what we are negotiating. Then the question is that if things continue to be like this, how is Africa going to be, especially in terms of security? Was that not supposed to be things of the past? How is the cooperation among Africa? What is the strength of AU? Apart from to say, no, we need the money to develop. What is the strength of AU to make sure that when it comes to security, things are handled? So, deep into it, because our conversation for today is a bit big. We are also going to look at the declaration of G20. What are the key points that G20 member states have agreed on? That is the position of South Africa. What is the position of Namibia? Because as we predicted, the president of Namibia also got an opportunity to speak. And now we are also going to listen to short clip to say what was the position of Namibia and how things are going to be done moving in the future. And one may also argue to say, is it just a conversation? Because when Now it's in the hand of the U.S. They will do as they want in 2026, or we are going to see changes. We are also going to look at what is the commonality among, G20 member states. And those who analyze things and see, you may also be able to see the position of EU and the position of EU, and you may be able to understand that the world is, I think leaders are also seeing the necessity of transformation. Because if you agree on the declaration, if you adopt the declaration in diplomacy that you have agreed upon, is to work together, is to condemn terrorism, is to promote food, food security, is to look at the issues of energy, and it's also to look at the issues of, financial institutions, restructuring. There's something that the world is telling us, especially where things need to go into. And we are saying G20 in the time of global economic complexity. Global economic complexity. And in the times of challenges too. But that is a conversation that we are going to get into, especially after a short commercial break. And I'll give you an opportunity after listening to my interest and what is necessary is, from a high level point of view, coming to Namibia, what is Namibia going to get? And I'm always interested in the Minister of Electricity and Energy in South Africa. That is Dr. Ramakgopa. Because he did not only speak about South Africa, he spoke about SADC regions. He spoke about energy sector. He spoke about balancing and not go away with the coal, where, using other source of energy, which is quite a conversation, particularly in a breakaway session. And we'll also be able also to look a little bit on the declaration, what are key points within G20 declarations, and also what is the position of Namibia when it's coming to global affairs, and also what was the main conversations, because there's always enough conversations to say, it's issues of debt in Africa, is the issue of recognizing Africa. Everybody is talking about poverty in Africa. Everybody is speaking about what is actually not new, but with much effort and also preaching to support in terms of finance. But how are these things going to turn out? Because there is always a bit of uncoordinated, unmatching link between policy framework at the global perspective, policy framework at the continental perspective, policy framework at the regional perspective, at the national level, and the results which are coming out across the board. How do we bridge that gap, especially the gaps of implementation? So that is where the conversation is going to be. So let us look at a short commercial break. Then we can come straight to the G20 and how did it turn out, and also what are some of the key messages, especially from global leaders who were in South Africa, and what is the way forward, and what can I get as an ordinary person, as a vendor, as a taxi driver? What is G20 to me? Does it matter? Because there's always this thing to say, no, those are their things. But who the discussion there on the table is about an ordinary person to say, how should, if you speak of industrialization, for example, you speak of creation of employment, how are we going to create employment if the energy sector is not dealt with? And I think Ramakgopa is a very smart guy, speaking about Namibia, speaking about coal, speaking about Zambia. And I'll get into that. But let us get a short commercial break. Then from there, we can move forward.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and AM staff. Kura nenge leo wapumbwa Eva Tero ulikoni maondo joto ingida, ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo, iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano.
okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda doini nawa nuneo don otukwetera o special angeta shake ngejepa omarudi dayo loka opone ujendife nawa nokumona oijamoili nawa ninge kwata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Ni ngelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebito tajuka.
Democracy thrives through participation, and we all want a thriving democracy, don't we? Let's all contribute to a thriving democracy by being active participants and voting in the upcoming regional council and local authority elections on 26 November 2025. Let's play our part. Get involved. Put your voice in the box.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Dear listeners, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and it's 34 minutes past the hour of 6. We are here until the hour of 8, when we are going to give the mic to Big Mac to unpack the day. And the conversation for today is looking at G20 during the time of global economic uncertainty, during the time of global economic realignment, and also what are some of the key resolutions of G20, and also what is the position of Africa, and also what was there for Namibia, especially when it comes to the main conversation. You know, a high-level diplomatic summit does not only happen straight to say you are listening to one speaker. There are things such as breakaway sessions, because it's quite rare to find global leaders, not only head of state, but head of institutions, UN, speak about World Bank, speak about, African Union Commission, high-level CEOs, speak about African development banks and all those leaders. There are also aspect of breakaway sessions, but at the center of G20 discussions, those who follow, is the issue of global inequality, the issue of climate finance, and also the issue of critical minerals. How should Africa deal with critical minerals and energy? To say, we spoke more on development, but we touch less on energy. So issues of energy, to say, yes, there is a global direction of green energy, for example. But what does it mean? Does it mean that somebody must compromise the current energy to praise the world so fast enough that you cannot track? But there is actually those who are expert in that, and those who are in that field. And I want you to get time and listen to this part. It's just part of a breakaway discussion in during G20, especially from the Minister of the Minister of Electricity and Energy, that is Dr. Ramakgopa. And I want you to listen to this audio and also interpret it to see how, you know, the position of South Africa, SADC, and how energy should be handled.
I know through your integrated resource plan, you're looking to increase the mix from gas as well as nuclear to about 16%. Do you mind elaborating on that in terms of the future ambitions?
Yes, I think the starting point is that the transition must be at the pace and scale that we can afford. So there are things that we know have worked over time, is that we're able to industrialize on the back of fossil fuels. So coal is a big part of the backbone of energy generation in the country, and it's also a base load. And then we know that over time, the hydro resources from Mozambique were imported into the country. I think about 1,500 megawatts of Kahora Basa, the hydro that's coming from Mozambique. So that's what has sustained us over a period of time. But of course, we do appreciate that we've got an obligation first to our people, especially those in the immediate footprints of the coal-fired power stations, to reduce the NOxes, the SOxes, and then over time, issues around CO2. So I'm making that point that it's an obligation to our people before we satisfy international obligations. And then on the back of that realization, of course, nuclear, a big part of the energy mix. The only two reactors, active reactors on the continent, are here in South Africa. 2010, we decided that there's a need for us to build a pipeline of renewable energy projects, and that's why now we've got the biggest installed capacity of renewable energy generation capacity of any country on the continent. As I speak to you, coal represents about 80% of dispatched electricity, and then our projection is that by 2039, coal will be 27%, wind is going to be about 35%, wind 35%, and PV about 27%. So you can see that we're pivoting. But of course, coal remains the backbone. In absolute number terms, from a megawatt perspective, coal retains that position, most significantly retains that position. So the principle here is that of additionality. What do I mean by that? When you add more renewables, it doesn't necessarily follow that you're subtracting coal. But there's an exponential increase of renewables. And of course, it comes at great cost because now we must build the backbone infrastructure, the transmission line, 25 billion rands of investment. We're going to support 14,000 kilometers of new expansion and modernization of our grid. We're working with private sector to concession some of those corridors so that we don't burden the fiscus to provide the guarantees and the capital that is required because the balance sheet can be used for other purposes. And there's an insatiable appetite by private sector to participate in this program. So the long and short of it is that we are doing all of the above. It's not a binary equation conversation, but all of the above, like I said, at the pace and scale that we can afford. It's significant that the lights must be on all the time, the electricity must be affordable, must be quality electricity, as we drive our ambitions for universal access and broadening the industrial flow.
No, thank you so much for that, Minister. Both you and Simon referred to the need to build this backbone of infrastructure. But in the spirit of Africa's ambition to create a single market, how can regional grid cooperation and the power pooling strengthen Africa's energy security and attract more investment into shared infrastructure?
Well, it already exists. We've got the Southern African Power Pool. So this is about the movement of electrons between the various jurisdictions. Of course, South Africa is an anchor, if you like, is the battery of the region. So what we're working with SAP, we have identified priority corridors that if we were to open those corridors, we can get the electricity as soon as possible. There's a corridor, there's a link, Angola into Namibia. There's a Zimbabwe-Botswana link that needs to be fixed. And because they are connected to renewable energy assets, the hydro in Angola and some hydro again in Zambia, there's a lot of discoveries that are made in Namibia with regards to gas, and we're talking conversation about gas to power. In fact, we happen to have a bi-national commission visiting Mozambique, exploring those opportunities. So we see the region as a single integrated electricity market. And in fact, on the back of the G20, I've conversed with my peers, we are seeing Africa in that light. So the intention is to connect the rest of the continent. But the point is to start, because we have been having multiple conversations. The Grand Inga stretches back 15, 20 years ago. Nothing has happened. So it's important that we start. We have identified those corridors, and we're invested in the success of this program. And in that way, we make the region energy secure, and then we're able to exploit our endowments to the point I made earlier on. Electricity availability and its affordability is a big part of this industrialization. Otherwise, we are going to miss this opportunity. And I think that we have readied ourselves with our peers.
That is Dr. Ramakgopa, Minister of Electricity and Energy in South Africa, was speaking during a breakaway session and speak about electricity availability and affordability. And one thing that he mentioned, and it's not boasting, but it's what he's stating to say them, they position themselves as South Africa. And there's something that is something that shows strength from their side to say South Africa is the battery of the region. He also said, no, Namibia also discovered gas, but South Africa is the battery of the region. It's powered by, it's powering the region, SADC region. And one thing that he also mentioned is the aspect of, additionality. It's an aspect of additionality. And maybe it's a conversation that you must also have to say, yes, you want to do what the world wants you to do, but did you consider our people first? South Africa says, I'm not going to abandon my coal. I'll just end the renewable energy to the point where I find the balance, not to throw away the whole formula. But that is what Dr. Ramakgopa is saying in short, to say, yes, the discussion is on the table, but we are not going to abandon the coals. We are going to end on that until we find a balance, because light must be on, and industrialization cannot move forward without energy, which is affordable. And that is a conversation that everybody must have. It's also a conversation to learn, to see other people, they stand out to make their position very clear. And they are working toward that. The question, what are we doing about energy sector in Namibia? At what motion? Are we focusing on additionality, or are we abandoning? Then we look at the new area, or we just need to end on that. How is the position of Namibia in terms of that? And the other thing also, the other thing that also need to be looked at is when you speak about affordability, Namibia has a plan of making sure that by 2030, around 70% of the households are electrified. The question is that how affordable? What are you doing about additionality? At what pace is your additionality to the energy that we have? At what cost? At what cost? And is it only the conversation? South Africa is doing it. They are positioning it at G20. They are not saying we must. They are saying this is what we are doing and what we stand for. In fact, there is quite a bit of a commonality when you look at with the US. But the US is totally denying the whole thing. But that is it's a conversation of another day. That is the position I wanted you to get, especially from that point of Dr. Ramakgopa, and to expand it more, to say, when somebody is coming to you and is talking about a certain policy, when somebody is coming to you and is speaking about a certain policy which is globally acceptable, look at yourself. What is working for you? What is working for you? And I like it when All the drafters of policies, they reference global positions, They reference where, what the UN stand for. Then they reference what AU stand for. They reference SADC. Then they come at home. But the question is that, are you satisfied at home? Do you have a plan at home that you sell to the world that you can align? Or you just take everything from outside, then you don't move forward. That is from the energy sector. But I want you to look at, before you look at the declaration, I want you to listen to the short clip from the, especially when it's coming to challenges of Africa. And then we'll look at the declaration. Then we also look at what Namibia will be able to get. Or is just a discussion. Look at, I want you to listen to Antonio Guterres, that is the SG for United Nations during G20.
We need economic action. Developing countries, in particular in Africa, the theme of this year's meeting, Solidarity, Equality and Sustainability, points the way. Over the next 2 days, I will call on G20 members to use their leverage to lead the action we need. First, we need economic action. Developing countries, in particular in Africa, are suffering from a perfect storm of shrinking fiscal space, crashing debt burdens, and a global financial architecture that is failing to support or even represent them adequately. Africa has been a double victim of colonialism, first through centuries of exploitation and plunder, and then again when international institutions were created, when most countries, African countries, were still under colonial rule and their voices were absent from the table. Today, Africa remains woefully underrepresented across global institutions, and this must change. The Pact for the Future, adopted by Member States last year, called for a reform of global financial institutions. Many decisions are disproportionately in the hands of some of the members of G20 across the governance bodies of these institutions. Africa must have a fair seat in every forum where decisions are made, from the board of international financial institutions to permanent seats in the United Nations Security Council and to other global bodies. And the G20 can help repair this historic injustice and drive reforms that give developing countries and Africa in particular a real voice in shaping global policies and make global economic governance more inclusive, representative, equitable, and effective in the years ahead. I will also urge G20 members to live up to the commitments made in June in the Financing for Development Conference in Sevilla to unlock more finance for developing countries, to triple the lending power of multilateral development banks, to increase their role in leveraging more private finance, to ease debt burdens with new instruments to reduce borrowing costs and risks, and speed up support for countries facing debt distress, drawing on recommendations from my debt expert group, to help developing countries strengthen their capacity to mobilize domestic resources, and to build trade bridges, not trade barriers. Too many developing countries, especially in Africa, find themselves at the bottom of value chains or locked out of trade opportunities. G20 members can lead the way by dismantling trade barriers and ensuring trade-free access to their markets for the poorest countries. Meanwhile, inequality has become a cancer in our societies, concentrating power and eroding trust in democracy. I commend the G20 presidency for commissioning a bold report on global inequality. Second, we need climate action. The ongoing COP30 meeting demonstrates how much work needs to be done. Countries have failed to keep temperatures to the 1.5 degree temperature rise limit. Science tells us that a temporary overshoot above this limit is now inevitable. And we must make this overshoot as small, short, and safe as possible.
Yeah, that is the Secretary General of UN at G20 in South Africa that recently closed. And must be able to remember that, you know, during the G20, South Africa made something very incredible by adopting a declaration, adopting a declaration of G20 leaders, especially at the beginning of the summit, something which was, you know, condemned by the United States. But it's also looking like when it's coming to global realignment and also in terms of strength, we stand. And also they also made one communication which shocked the world, especially when after the arrangement were done, the U.S. said that they will send charge d'affaires. Charge d'affaires is, in terms of diplomacy, second in command in terms of a diplomat, but it's not equivalent to the president, it's not equivalent to the prime minister. And the presidency, South Africa say no, we are not going to hand over to somebody of low ranks. That is an insult, and we cannot be bullied. That's what South Africa have said. It's not me. So no, we cannot be bullied. We cannot hand over G20 seat to a charge d'affaires. Because there was a level of respect to say, if you cannot send your foreign minister or state of, or secretary of foreign affairs, at least a vice president. But sending charge d'affaires, Ramaphosa say, no, we are not, it's not going to happen. That's why those who follow G20, you'll be able to see that there was a closing session. There was a closing session, not a handover. But you'll also be able to see what other countries, either in Europe, have agreed that US did not agree on, or is not, supporting. And you also be able to see that sometimes head of states, they are also positioning themselves for their own country's interest. Because when you look what, for example, Macron has done, he's still in Africa traveling around to build a relationship. And remember, France, I think, have also seen that it's relationship which is building the economy. That's why last year France put in an application to say, I want to be part of BRICS, but was rejected because people see the changes and also the change in how international financial architectures have been built, and also where the main resources are coming from, and what is the meaning of cooperations, because there is quite a very big difference between cooperations and confrontation. But the question has always been to say, okay, what will this have on an ordinary person? Because it's like head of state, they can go to you and then they say, no, we need this. But forgetting that UN is you. UN is head of state, is everybody. The question has always been to say, now, we spoke enough about poverty, we spoke enough about inequality. What are the actions taken? There's declarations, there's agreements, there's guiding principles, there's, conventions. But are these conventions really strong to that extent that they can allow countries to use them as instrument of advancing their people? When you look at the African Union documents on security, you will be so impressed. Africa peace and security studies, women in peace and security. But are women and children secured? Are they safe in Africa? Are they safe in your neighborhood? Because that is how you should scale it down. Are they safe in your neighborhood? Yes, Africa presented a document which impressed the UNSG, especially on global inequality. But South Africa is number one in terms of inequality. Namibia is number two in terms of income inequality. And the question is that how are those who lead these changes championing them at home? But I want you to listen to one of the also strong conversation before we go to what Ramaphosa has to say. Then we look at the declaration, then also look at the way forward. I want you to let's look at short commercial break. Then you'll be able also to listen to what the president of Namibia has to say at that platform.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, because you clearly haven't been polanified. Like, boring day at the spun. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's 59 minutes past the hour of 6. And we are progressing at an understandable pace. Today we are speaking about the concluded G20. To say, after the meeting, after the discussion, after the hugs and diplomatic, exchange, after bilateral meetings and all the communication, after the panel discussions, what happened after that? What happened after all those discussions? The same thing that you should also ask, not only a G20, also, not only because it's happening for the first time in Africa, we can also ask the same question with COP 30, COP 29. You can also ask the same question with your community meeting. You can bring it down to your community meeting to say, how many times did you had meetings about solving a community problem, then you did not solve it? What is the relationship between what we say and what we do? That is what can differentiate the current from the future, where the future is now. Because the future of yesterday is today. And it will always be like that. What is happening now after the whole conversation? Now, before we go to the declaration and also to see what are some of the main key points that were agreed upon, it's quite important. It's quite important to look at what the President of Namibia has to say, especially which was invited at G20, just part of the conversation.
We need a fair international financial institutions. Being the most meaningful way, we can place people at the heart of sustainable development. Our focus on advancing the transformation of global governance must be underpinned by the common understanding that only an inclusive and representative international system will have the capacity to respond to the present day challenges. If our financial architect is not fit for the purpose, we will continue to see the pressure of a looming global debt crisis that intensified imbalance between developed and developing countries. We are not seeking for free money. We want a fair and equal financing opportunities. For Namibia to grow and industrialize our economy, Namibia is welcoming investors to invest on value addition at source for our natural resources, including critical minerals, to yield a broad-based benefit for all our people. To leave no one behind, countries must mobilize adequate resources for development, apply responsible debt management, and safeguard resources for essential social and economic programs such as education, health, and infrastructures. Namibia urges the G20 leaders to strengthen debt treatment framework by providing concessional financing to countries that demonstrate commitment to sound debt management and to be innovative in strengthening others. As we strive towards reducing inequality within and among countries, fair taxation, financial inclusion, and social protection are essential tools.
Yeah, those were the words of the president of Namibia, especially when she was invited to G20. It's quite a very strong point, because when you look at international affairs, and you can also be able to connect to say, where is the communication going to? The president is urging G20 to support those countries that, they show performance in terms of their debt management. What does it mean? It means that Namibia must be included, because Namibia demonstrated to be very good with debt management, because we recently paid $750 million as part of the second Euro bond, which was given in 2014 out there, 2015. And also to see those who can manage their finance can also get assistance. But the question has always been to say, what do we really need to develop? Do we need money? Do we need skills? Do we need external investor? Do we need domestic investors? Do we need a plan? What do you really that we need to develop? How much money is needed to develop? And who is in control of those financial institutions? Because the records have been very clear. Africa has been getting money. Since I grew up, I look at the records. Africa has been getting money of development. How did we use that money for development? Is it really that our problems require billions of billions for Africa to get somewhere? Why is it so difficult to manage the resources that we have? Why is it so difficult to manage the resources that we have as a continent? But yeah, that is a conversation. That's a conversation. Debts, countries. Look at Ethiopia. Look at Malawi. Look at France too. Because if you look at Malawi, if you want to buy a bread, you are buying, everything is on aid, everything is on external support. Everything is on external support. And I was reading somewhere today where I have seen, it's a confirmed news, especially when it's coming to recovery of Zambian economy. It's a confirmed news, especially when it's coming to recovering of Zambian economy, and also some of the efforts which were placed there. But that should be a news for every other country in Africa. And the question maybe that we also need to ask is to say, the money that we have planned for example, do we have that money that we have planned for? Are we sure all the projects are going to be funded? What is a guarantee? What is the degree of success in those, on that finance that we have? Because I did not see a country which say no to money we have. Oh no, we don't want that loan. In most cases, it's thank you. We are going to cooperate and it's a win-win. But yeah, so in the absence of the US, South Africa continued leading G20 and handed over where there was no handover, and say they will not take the handover to the US. And Ramaphosa, maybe this is also a time to for him to showing strength, because if you listen to the minister in the presidency, one of the things that she stated is that South Africa is bigger than that. Africa is bigger than that. Bigger than a mere conversation. But yeah, let us look at Ramaphosa has to say. What President Ramaphosa has to say. Especially during the closing session of a G20 summit. India.
The summit has taken place at a crucial time as calls around the world grow louder for progress on the imperatives of our time to end poverty in all its forms and ramifications, to reduce inequality within and amongst countries, and to take urgent action to combat climate change. This year, we have recognized the growing debt burden that is faced by many developing economy countries as a major obstacle to achieving the Sustainable Development Goals of the United Nations. The G20 has pledged to extend support to low and middle income countries as they confront debt vulnerabilities. Together, we must create a virtuous cycle of reduced debt, higher public investment, and more rapid and inclusive economic growth. When we become more successful, all of us, then the whole world becomes successful. When we began our presidency, we pledged to mobilize the G20 to strengthen disaster resilience and response. Climate-induced natural disasters spare no country. Disasters know no borders. But their toll is heaviest on those without the means to recover and to rebuild. We therefore called on G20 leaders to urge the global community to scale up post-disaster reconstruction. In this regard, South Africa introduced the high-level voluntary principles for investment in preventing and responding to disasters. We've made progress in mobilizing finance for a just energy transition. Climate change touches every nation, but it impacts on everyone unevenly. That is why we have together pledged to increase the quality and the quantity of climate finance to developing economies, to strengthen multilateral development banks, to support country platforms like the Just Energy Transition Partnership, and to unlock private capital. We reaffirmed our dedication to energy security, affordability, and universal access, and the importance of supporting developing economies in their transition to low carbon emissions. We recognize the need for deep, rapid, and sustained reductions in greenhouse gas emissions and the need to substantially scale up investment and climate finance from all sources. During this summit, we reaffirmed our support for the G20 Critical Minerals Framework a cooperative blueprint to ensure that critical mineral resources drive prosperity and sustainable development across the globe. Our presidency coincided with the end of the first cycle of the G20 presidencies. Following the mandate given to our presidency at the 2024 Rio de Janeiro summit, we undertook the G20 at 20 review, drawing on the diverse perspectives of participating members and guest countries as well. It is our hope that the recommendations of the review will serve as a helpful guide for the G20 to ensure that it remains fit for purpose in an ever-changing world.
Yeah, that was Cyril Ramaphosa. That was Cyril Ramaphosa, the president or the outgoing president of G20. And before we go into the main the discussion, particularly on critical minerals and also the support of ongoing revision, ongoing review of International Monetary Fund, one of the things that you need to look at is that there is nothing more important than actions which need to be done urgently, especially to the Africans, because if the G20 countries adopted that declaration and they've agreed on transformation of IMF, transformation of those who have funds to fund, development. When all the countries have agreed to say no, when you are giving to loan, when you are giving to a loan to Gabon, for example, to Guinea-Bissau, to poor countries, you must not give money with high interest because you are looking at it as a risk, because it's also discriminatory at one point. Because yes, although it's not the entire cause of challenges, because we end up not taking also responsibility to say Africa has been a double victim of economic inequality and also colonialism. But what have we done? What have we done? Are we just aging, or we are also participating in those actions? Now, the interesting part is this. When the G20 summit was concluded, President Ramaphosa has to officially hand over, but without the presence of the country to take over. That is, in this case is US. The handover was just done. The handover was just done, it was not a handover, it was a crossing session. And I want you to listen to this part, and you can also interpret it in your own way to say, there's a lot of challenges going on in South Africa. Say, no, we are not going to entertain that. We are not going to hand over to charge the affair. You are not going to hand over to charge the affair. It's like you are sending a PA of a governor to welcome a president in the region, or to welcome a minister in the, or a prime minister in the region, because in terms of international protocols and standard, a charge the affair is low rank. At least you're supposed to send somebody from your cabinet, maybe a state secretary, if not the vice president. But South Africa said, no, that is not going to happen. And listen to the crossing, part.
The summit has taken place at a crucial time, as calls around the world grow louder for progress, and together, imperative, we can ensure that no one is left behind. I now say that this gavel of this G20 summit formally closes this summit and now moves on to the next president of the G20, which is the United States, where we shall see each other again next year. The summit is therefore closed.
Yeah, it's unusual. It never happened before in the history of G20, where a person who was supposed to be given the chair is not present. And one may also be able to ask to say, when US take over, what if none of what was discussed going to be considered in 2026? What if that none of that will be considered? And looking at the declaration of G20 summit, it's only Argentina that did not agree with its support and also aligning with the US. But the question is that now, if we discuss everything properly, what will happen 2026 if that of who I gave or this rotational seat is not even inviting me, or is not inviting those countries? What will happen? Will this just going to continue to be a talk? It's also my concern to say, yes, you have programs. It's like you have programs in place. Then you bring somebody on board who is different. How easy is it for African presidents to use previous programs and complete them, other than coming up with their own? When did we see that to say a national project is not a 5-year project? It's a project that can be continued, be built, to say this is our foundation. If we are fighting poverty, that is where we are going. But looking at this declaration, and also looking at what will happen forward, it's quite interesting to see how the development will turn out. So you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083-288-401. Then you can give your question. Then you can also give your contribution, especially when it's coming to G20. And also to see what is in for Namibia, what is directly and indirectly in for Namibia. And you can comment on the points of Ramakgopa, who is saying, Ramakgopa, the Minister of Electricity, who is saying South Africa is a battery of the region. It's not only a battery of the region, but it's influential in many other things. But to say South Africa is a battery of the region, this also means that in terms of setting, if I'm the battery of the region, I will continue to supply to you. Then you continue paying money. But yeah, so let's look at the short commercial break. And you can also put in mind the conversation beyond what is communicated. We can go to Eskom, for example, to say Eskom has been up and down, but now it's stable. The stability of Eskom is beneficial for South African commercial gain. And also, not really a good, although it was supposed to be that way, to Namibia, prices will not change. To say we have our things in order, we are putting the price down, we'll still continue to buy electricity from South Africa to support our grid. So let's look at the short commercial break, then we can continue with the conversation. However, you can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083-288-401. So from there, we'll look shortly into a declaration of G20, then we'll look at the Villager newspaper to say, when it comes to the Villager newspaper of Monday of the 24th of November 2025, what is there? What is on top of the page? What do we have inside? Why you should be interested in reading and engaging with the paper? And why you should subscribe to 081-241-44 to make sure that you do not miss out. Send your name, send your WhatsApp name and to this number, and also save it as your WhatsApp contact detail. That is 081-241-44, 081-241-44. When you do that, it's easier for you to get that paper every Monday, Wednesday and Friday.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Unongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo, o tukwetira o special ange, tashake ngeje pa omarudi dayo loka, opone ushendife nawa, nukumona oijamo ili nawa, ninge pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onore tatu imwe, bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali, ile kumberewa, nurane tatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, omafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Unongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo, o tukwetira o special ange, tashake ngeje pa omarudi dayo loka, opone ushendife nawa, nukumona oijamo ili nawa, ninge pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora itatu imwe, bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali, ile kumberewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually...
We are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's 24 minutes past the hour of 7. And we are speaking about G20 to say what are some of the key resolutions of G20 and also what are the key priority areas. What has been stated, especially at the G20 summit, and also what is the position of Africa to the world? What did the world say? And also, are we able to see changes? Are we able to see changes moving into the future? But for now, you can be able to engage. You can be able to engage us at 083-288-401 or 83-288-401. The other thing is also that with the G20 declaration, you can be able also to access it on online. Then you can also be able to read. Don't just say something is very far, especially in the world of technology. Do not only just say this is only the conversation for high level people, or this is a conversation to those who are, you know, into politics. But even when you are selling kapana, even when you are selling, even if you are a taxi driver, understand at least one thing about G20. Understand what will you get from G20's discussion. What does it mean to the world in terms of trade? What is the position of other leaders in terms of energy? What is that Namibia need to do? Especially if you are a researcher, or you are a policy analyst, or you are an advisor, to say in terms of energy, where are we, where is the world going? You can go deep into things of additionality. To say when you speak about, yes, combating of climate change impact, Africa is suffering because majority of the countries, especially the developed world, did not pay much attention on declining in terms of greenhouse gases. But are you going to say you are no more using coal? Because I'm a hope saying no. We have to, until we meet that balance, we are going to work with additionality, because we cannot afford people not to have energy. That's why in most cases lack of development is when there is no electricity. When you don't have electricity, you can't do anything. Now that there is also electrical vehicles. So, but for now, you can look at G20, then look at the key priorities that were communicated. Key priorities that were communicated, that one we have indicated to say is debt sustainability, climate and just energy transition, reduction of inequality, when people are speaking about the reduction of economic inequality and financial inclusion, they are speaking about Namibia. Yeah, they are speaking about Namibia in South Africa. Not only them, but we are the main, because we are on top of what is not good. When you hear the word economic inequality or income inequality, think about your country. What have you done about it? Financial accessibility. What is the position of Namibia financial accessibility? Yes, we discussion about things of collateral, things of SME being risk. Is still in the private sector being communicated as such. Nothing really have changed. Although there are a few programs which are there. Those are the conversation that, that everybody must have to say. When you come up with, for example, with your sector transformation, financial sector transformation strategy, where you want to include the unbanked, you want to include the unbanked, you want to include the, you want to include the SME operator in financial access. What did you look at? Is it really possible? Is it really possible? And to what extent is the progress of the beautiful strategy that was made? So, global governance architecture that has been stated, especially when you look at issues of international financial institutions. However, we are going to look at, when you speak about the Villager newspaper, what do we have today in the Villager newspaper? What do you have today in the Villager newspaper? Especially when you look on top of the page of the Villager newspaper for the 24th of November 2025, you will be able to see that government planned to switch 2.3 billion on Tuesday. Government planned to switch 2.3 billion Namibian dollars on Tuesday. It's an article by my colleague, Inomena Varihangara, to say the government thought, or the central bank will attempt to persuade investors to switch their 2.3 billion investment in the GC26 bond to other long-term bonds to avoid repaying the borrowed money next year. That is something that we need to look at and also expand it, especially when it comes to issues of finance. We need to expand that. So, look at page 3 of the Villager newspaper. You have applications to Vervicha University in the field of law, commerce, and education. In that part, you also have courses presented out there, such as a certificate in project management, a level 5. You know, we are saying projects should not be, we don't want white elephant projects anymore. Projects must be completed. How do you complete a project if you don't have a qualification in project management? How do you manage it very well? So, go on at Vervicha University, study that certificate. You also have a certificate in supply chain management, level 5. Diploma, project management, level 6. Diploma, supply chain management. Your bachelor's of science in computer information system. You have a bachelor's of science in project management, your bachelor's of science in supply chain, postgraduate diploma in inclusive education, level 8. Inclusive education, special education, make sure that the content of your learning should not only be directed to one person, but when you speak of inclusive education, you also include those who are struggling to find it, to find themselves, especially when it's coming to education sector. So make sure that that is part of the field that you would take. And yeah, and there is an article on Namibia Agronomic Board to stop or to halt importation of 15 horticultural products for December. Go and read which one are you not going to buy, or which one are they going to be in the local market, especially those who have festive events such as weddings, baby showers, and any other. So look at that and make sure that you are part of the right real information. Yeah, there is an article on G20. that says we need fair, transparent international institutions. That is one of the article written by Matthias Sankara. And make sure that you engage into that. Because when the president says we need fair, transparent and international, we need fair and transparent international institution, what does she mean? Who is she talking to? And what is the benefit of having fair and transparent financial institution? Yeah, there's an article from that side of Rundu. Sekavango River, the river that bites. It's quite dangerous out there. That is where the danger is sometimes, especially when it comes to the attack of crocodiles. Crocodiles are very dangerous animals, and those who play closer to the river, they are also, or they must be aware, and they must also be cautioned, especially regarding the aspect of human and wildlife conflict or human and animal conflict, because it's not the first time, and it's happened every year. People are being attacked and killed by crocodiles, and you are just asking yourself to say, what is the best way? Maybe it's the best way to create sustainable means of transportation when people are crossing the river. Or is the best way to create clean, fresh water that people don't need to go to the river and bath or wash their clothes? What is the long-term solutions to that? Because it starts like that, but it requires a researcher to go deep and do research to say how many people were attacked by crocodiles in the past 5 years, for example. What are the average of numbers of those who were attacked? What are the averages of years? What is the cause of this human and wildlife conflict? What is the status of their economy? Then you can get your point of view from those questions, especially if you do research regarding crocodiles and the attacking of people. Yeah, there's an opinionated article by Andy Brown. That is how African nation got stuck with China. It's an opinionated article there. It's always good to read and get perspective, because one thing that you must never stop doing is reading and researching, because when you stop doing that, you are finished and you will not recover anymore. If you are finished, you are defeated and you will not come back from that, mental slavery. Yeah. Looking at page 9 of the Villager newspaper, there is woman broke supermarket sales. Speak about macaroni at $69.99. You speak about other products such as fruit juice, cold drinks, and also Bakpro. But yeah, that is what is in the Villager newspaper for today. And we are always indicating to you that when you read, when you have economic insight, when you have economic data, you will not lose out. You will not lose out, especially when it comes to making of long-term decisions. So let us go to a short commercial break. Then we can continue with the conversation, especially when you speak about G20, global diplomacy in the time of global uncertainty, and also to say, What is the way forward, and what do we have for us? What does G20 has for us as Namibians? When the minister is saying they are the hub, they are the battery of the region, do they want smaller batteries to come on board, or are these smaller batteries going to be a threat? So let us look at the short commercial break, then we can come with the conversation.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Ngelo wapobwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. nune udo o tukwetera o special angeta shake ngeshefa o marudini dayo loka opone ujendi fenawa nokumona o ijamwiri nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of
we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. You can air your view, especially regarding G20 and the conversation that was held, and also to say one of the things that we are always asking is, what is the relationship between what we say and also what we do? What is the relationship between, being party to a lot of conventions, being party to a lot of treaties, but none too little of what is in those documents are implemented, what need to be done, particularly moving from the point of speaking, from the point of declarations, to the point of doing what is right. So that's why when it comes to policies, I was looking at I traveled to Akawa recently, and I was looking at these small SME operators, and then asking myself to say, these people are working so hard. The vendors, those who are at the edge of economic situations, because they always have coins moving around. You can find all types of food there. But the question is that when you look at this number of people, then you look at, for example, financial inclusion policies and strategy. Is it really going to happen by 2035? How many of them are able to bank? How many of them have accounts? I'm just looking at them. And there are a lot. People are not just selling. People are engaging in other form of business. But the question that you're asking yourself is to say, intended policies and results coming out, what is the relationship between those intended policies and also right results that are coming out to upgrade these people? Then every time you look at a seller, an entrepreneur, a craftsman, ask yourself this question to say, or go to him or her and ask to say, where are you seeing your business in 5 years? Some of them do not have that plan because they did not see it anywhere beyond survival. What is the impact of global leaders meeting on an ordinary seller across the road? What is the long-term impact of that? Are you able to feel that? Or is high level, it's like abstract? Is there anything in a declaration that will happen, particularly in terms of energy, or we are still theorizing? Because what matters is not about the art of diplomacy, the communication. Yes, it's really good to listen to those professional experts, Ramaphosa them, and many others. Well-drafted speeches is very good, but the question has always been to say, but what happened after everybody go home? Is it business as usual when everybody goes home? Where are we in terms of energy? At what pace? Because the very interesting thing is energy and industrialization. Where is Namibia in terms of energy? At what pace? How are we going to deal with that? What is our academic content? What are our institutions teaching in terms of energy? Not short course, but the focus, the long-term focus in terms of nuclear reactors and many others. Because long term is what matters. And starting it is what matters. Because the question has always been to say, what will happen? when the population of Namibia continue to increase, by 2035 we are not going to be 3 million. By 2035 we are going to be a lot than that. But are we dealing with our problems that we have? And I've seen a lot of beautiful pictures recently, particularly with the graduation of Avicii. But I'm always asking myself also a question to say, how is the structure of our workforce? How is the whole system going to absorb these people? And what will happen 5 years or 10 years, somebody looking for a job, is that person going to have the right capacity to do the work? Because there was a time we asked the question of what is the long-term impact of unutilized knowledge and skill? Is it dangerous to the economy? Is it dangerous to the safety? The long-term impact of unutilized knowledge and skills. Ask yourself, what is the craft that you have? What skill that you have that you are not given opportunity to utilize them? Which one are you utilizing? I'm not saying we must fight for every opportunity, but how will that going to be? Because people, we need to make sure that we move beyond that engagement. We need to see G20 at my village to say what does G20 has to do with my village development? What does it has to do with that? Or is just G20 high level? Because summits are good. Summits are very beautiful, and you see leaders coming together. But the question is also, what do these leaders say to each other in private to say, guys, what is happening in your country? Are you guys, do you need assistance? Or can we share? Not global stage conversation, can we share? And Matthias today asked to say, why U.S. Needs South Africa more than South Africa needs U.S. There is nothing like that in global relations. You need to work with everybody where you meet them. And what you are agreeing on. There is always something that you are agreeing on. Because economic arrangements and economic agreement is not a business of liking each other. And I think that is what is understood on international affairs, because you don't need to like each other, but at least you have a common goal to say, this is where we are going to be. And also, when you speak about diplomacy, when you speak about economic diplomacy, how many young people follow economic diplomacy? Not in terms of politics, in terms of trade. How many young people engage the Ministry of International Relations and Trade to say, you guys are dealing with embassies. What should I do to make sure that I sell my product in other countries? How many of young people? How many entrepreneurs got opportunity to attend these continental trade fairs? There are always those in Dubai and all those things. How many of them do they have those information? If they don't have, what need to be done? Because it's quite not right always seeing somebody representing everybody, but not knowing by everyone, not known by everyone. Because this is the platform that we should discuss about this thing to say, in terms of economic diplomacy, in terms of trade, and in terms of young people and also young entrepreneurs' involvement in international relations and trade. What do they need to do? What platform do they need to take? What information do they need? Because it's undeniable that our economy cannot feed us, all of us. That is undeniable. Although there is possibility for it to feed us when we do actions. When we act on when you act on what is necessary, especially when it's coming to opening up opportunities and also developing our country. So now, let us look at Zambia, and also see to say when it's coming to Zambia and this economic recovery. What are the statistics saying? What are the statistics saying when it's coming to Zambia and its economic recovery? And is it only Zambia or other countries also? Because remember, Zimbabwe also, its prediction is working. Zimbabwe has worked. And I'm also wondering why could it be the reason it attracted also Dangote, or it was also part of the contributing factors into that. Looking at the current news on Zambia, it stated the Zambian government welcomed the rating upgrade that see country exit default status. They're on default status. And Zambia has a history of economic challenges to the point that they started giving resources to maintain their economic their operations. But it stated that Zambia Finance Minister on Sunday welcomed the milestone upgrade from S&P Global Rating Agency that removed the copper-rich country default status in latest sign of economic recovery. And estimations are indicating to say the budget in September, the government forecasts a rosier fiscal picture for 2026, estimating the budget would be more than half economic growth rise at 6% following years of protracted debt restructuring, negotiation, and severe drought. Stuff out there. But ask yourself these questions to say, okay, it's the richest country in terms of copper supply. At any point in time you travel to Avis Bay and Swakop, you see those trucks, they don't stop, they are just moving. That is copper. It's not copper wire that people steal here to buy simple things. It's the real copper sold to international market. The question you're asking yourself is to say, man, how come we have a lot of resources moving around, but less to no recovery in terms of the economy? If G20 is speaking about value addition, Zambia is speaking about value addition, South Africa is speaking about value addition, Namibia, NDP6 is speaking about value addition. Now, what is being done to make sure that when it comes to value addition, there is practicality? Because once it is demonstrated, then that will be more easier to allow, the process of industrialization to take place. So Zambia is recovering economically from default setting. It's recovering economically. Zimbabwe recovered or is continuing recovering. People are getting, or countries are getting, investors' confidence. Not only internationally, but at the domestic level. People are getting investors' confidence. Why are we still away? We are still grey-listed. But let us hope that the effort of those who run industries can be able to assist in terms of implementation of developmental priorities. So, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and we are here until the hour of 8. And why we have around 7 minutes, it's always very important also to thought provoking you with questions of questioning yourself to say, yes, now it's almost December. What are the things that we are going to do in 2026? And what was the cause of the delay in my plans? Was this was because I listened to wrong people for quite some time, or because I did not take actions? Ask yourself as an individual, not only personal goals, even you as a project manager. What were some of the things that delayed progress, apart from us blaming the system? And when we come to that, why is it so difficult to say one thing and do a completely different thing? But when a certain somebody does it, we tend to say, no, it's a bit hypocritical. We say a lot of policies, but we don't implement them. But you also say a lot of planning, but you do one percentage. And what can you do new today that will change the future? What can you do new today? Because the formula must always be changed. What is the best thing to do to make sure that tomorrow has changed? Because if you don't do new things, if I don't do new things, I've been also resistant to change, but realize to say change is what necessary. Advancing in transformation is what necessary. So that's why it's always very important to ask ourselves these questions, particularly when it comes to economic activities. When you speak about global corporations, or when leaders speak about global corporations at G20, are we cooperating with one another as people, as smaller business people? Are we communicating with one another as vendors? You know, I've seen, I think, three times these guys, vendors, they are fighting each other physically. It's women even, fighting for a small space. And you are just asking yourself to say, we are all poor, we are supposed to assist each other when we are at this level, because it's cutthroat competition. You see fat cake sellers fighting with each other. No, this is my space. There is not even a structure, and you are just asking yourself to say, man, why do we have to die of small battles when we have bigger things to accomplish, national issues? So yeah, we'll go to a short commercial break, then we'll conclude. We'll go to a short commercial break, then we conclude, especially when we speak about G20. What were some of the pronunciation? What is the future looking like? What is there for Namibia?
Lipura nengeno wapubwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijemo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that?
Why should you do that? Why do you give yourself plans that you cannot fulfill? Why should you do that? And that is the question we should ask ourselves when you go to December. And also looking at 2026, and also looking at what we can do, particularly in the areas of cooperations. Because one thing I've seen is that we don't cooperate with one another. We are one man team. You can't be a one man team. We must be able to cooperate with one another at the personal level, at the professional level, and also at other forms of lives, to say, cooperation is better than confrontation. You can be intelligent, but you cannot beat a well-coordinated team. That's why global states, they team up. It has never happened before, even in Africa. It has never happened before to say this is the position, this is the common ground. This is who we support. No matter what happened, we stand on the principles. That's why when you read the declaration, then you look at the resolutions, look at key points which will be highlighted, you will be surprised to see. But the concern has always been also to see, apart from that, what is the action going to look like when there is transformation in the UN Security Council? There is Africa in every seat of a global institution. How is the transformation going to be? So those are the questions that we should ask ourselves, and also look at what need to be done anew. So, dear listeners, it's 59 minutes past the hour of 7, and we'll transfer the mic to Big Mike to unpack the day. And thank you for always listening to Early Morning Scoop. And follow us in all our social media platform. Make sure that you like and share our page so that you will not be able to miss out. So, for me, David Shombe, see you around. See you around. Bye-bye for now. And enjoy your Monday.